Let me see that newspaper.
Here. Sorry, I can't chat, you old thief. Gotta make a deposit. Hey, here you are, Horace. Deposit slip, bank book, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
You too, Mr. Bailey. Say, you've forgotten something, haven't you?
Horace, I've forgotten things all my life.
Get a wheel on, boy.
But Mr. Bailey, where's the money?
What? What's that?
You want to make a deposit?
Well, certainly I want.
Well, it's customary to bring the money with you.
It's gone. Where'd I put it? Where'd I put that money?
A terrible thing, Clarence. Terrible. Uncle Billy couldn't find the money because the envelope with the $8,000 was folded up in a newspaper he gave to Old Man Potter.
I just don't know what happened to it, George. I just don't know.
$8,000? Uncle Billy, the bank examiner is here, and it's not our money. It belongs to the depositors.
George, what are we going to do? We've traced every step I took. We can't stand here in the street.
Are you sure you didn't put that envelope in your coat pocket?
I think so. Maybe? Oh, I'm no good to you, George. I'm no good.
Now listen to me. Think, will you? Now try and think.
I can't think anymore. I can't.
Where's that money, you silly old fool? You know what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. One of us is going to jail. Well, it's not going to be me. Now, get out of my way. I'm going home.
George, dear, what's wrong? You haven't said a word since you came home.
With that banging on the piano, does she have to keep playing that same piece over and over again?
I have to practice for the Christmas party, Daddy.
What is it, dear? Another hectic day?
Yeah, another red-letter day for the Baileys.
Dad, the Murphy's got a brand new car. You should see it.
What's the matter with our car? Isn't it good enough for you?
I'm sorry, Dad. I only,
Run upstairs, Petey. See if Zuzu's all right.
Okay, Mom.
Now, what do you mean, see if Zuzu's all right? What do you mean?
Oh, she caught a little cold coming home from school. She didn't button up her coat.
Well, what is it? What do you mean, just a cold?
George, the doctor said it's nothing serious.
The doctor? Was the doctor here?
Well, I thought he'd better look at her.
It's this old drafty house. No wonder we don't all have pneumonia. Might as well be living in a refrigerator. Why do we have to live here in the first place and stay around this measly, crummy old town?
George, what's happened?
Everything's happened. You call this a happy family? Why did we have all these kids?
Daddy, how do you spell frankincense?
I don't know how you... Why don't you ask your mother?
Where are you going?
Upstairs to see Zuzu.
Hello? Oh, thank you, Mrs. Welch. I'm sure she'll be all right.
Who's that?
Zuzu's school teacher. What? Oh, yes, the doctor says she'll be fine tomorrow.
Here, give me that phone.
George, please.
Mrs. Welch, this is Mr. Bailey. Say, what kind of teacher are you anyway? What do you mean sending Zuzu home like that half naked? Do you realize she'll probably end up with pneumonia just because of your stupidity? You know, maybe my kids aren't the best dressed kids in town, but at least... Hello? Hello? Janine, will you stop playing that lousy piano? Now cut it out. Stop it.
George, for heaven's sake, what's wrong with you?
I'm sorry, Janine. I'm sorry. Mary, I've just got to get out of here.
So, that's it, George. You're short $8,000 in your accounts, eh?
Please, Mr. Potter. I'll pay any sort of bonus if you... still want the building and loan, I...
You say it was lost. Have you notified the police?
No, sir. I haven't done that yet. Harry's homecoming tomorrow.
Why come to me? What about your good friend Sam Wainwright?
I can't get a hold of him. He's in Europe.
What kind of security would I have? George, what collateral?
Yes, sir. I have Some life insurance here? $15,000 policy.
What's your equity in it?
$500.
And you want $8,000? You once called me a warped, frustrated old man. Well, what are you but a warped, frustrated young man, crawling on your hands and knees for help? Why don't you go to the riffraff you love so well? Ask them for help.
I'll do anything, Mr. Park. Please, please help me. My wife and kids.
I'm calling the district attorney. $500. You know something, George? You're worth more dead than you are alive. Now get out of here. Get out.
And all the time, Potter had the $8,000 in his desk drawer. It's still there, Clarence.
But where is George, sir? Where?
Well, he went over to Martini's Cafe. He's had a couple of drinks, Clarence. He's just standing there, sort of in a daze.
Oh, God. God. Dear Father in Heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, please show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God.
Mr. Bailey, you all right? Don't drink anymore, Mr. Bailey, please. You don't feel good.
Bailey? Did you say Bailey? Which Bailey?
This gentleman is Mr. Bailey, George Bailey.
George Bailey, huh? And the next time you talk to my wife like that, you'll get worse. And it isn't enough she slaves teaching her stupid kids how to read and write. You gotta bawl her out.
You get out of here, Mr. Welch. You hit my best friend. Get out.
All right, I'm going.
Mr. Bailey, you okay?
Who was that?
Mr. Welch, don't worry. You don't come in this place no more. I'll get something for your face. It's bleeding.
No, I'm all right.
Please, don't go away, Mr. Bailey.
Leave me alone.
Don't go away.
Let me alone!
Well, George left Martini's Cafe 5 minutes ago, Clarence. He's at the river now, on the bridge, looking at the water. Are you ready, Clarence?
All ready, sir.
Very well. Save George Bailey's life and you'll get your wings.
My wings? Oh, thank you, Joseph. George Bailey, get away from that bridge. Do you hear me, George? George!
Numb with despair, convinced, as Mr. Potter said, that he's worth more dead than alive, George Bailey stands on a bridge staring at the dark and frigid waters below. Suddenly, there's a splash.
Help! Help! I'm drowning! Oh, help!
No, that's not George. It's Clarence, the apprentice angel. And there goes George in after him. It's a few minutes later now, and in the bridge keeper's shack, George and Clarence are drying off.
You both sure you're all right? You want a doctor?
No, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Oh, I'm fine. This underwear. I didn't have time to get anything more stylish. My wife gave this to me on my last birthday. I passed away in it.
You what, mister?
Oh, I see Tom Sawyer's drying out, too.
Who?
My book. I left in such a hurry, I brought Tom Sawyer with me.
Hey, how'd you happen to fall in?
Oh, I jumped in. I jumped in to save you.
Jumped in to save me?
Well, I did, didn't I? You didn't go through with it, did you?
Go through with what?
Suicide. Your lips bleeding.
Yeah. Yeah, I got busted in the jaw in answer to my prayer.
Oh, no, George. I'm the answer to your prayer.
Hey, how do you know my name?
Oh, I know all about you.
Well, who are you supposed to be anyway?
Clarence Oddbody, AS2.
Clarence Oddbody. What's the AS2 for?
Angel Second Class.
Hey, I'm getting out of here. You may not need a doctor, but I do.
Cheerio, my good man.
Hey, look here. Why do you want to save me?
Because I'm your guardian angel, George.
Oh, I see. What happened to your wings?
Well, I haven't won my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
Oh, I see.
But you can help me earn them, George, by letting me help you.
Oh, Don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
Oh, no, no. We don't use money in heaven.
You know, I'm worth more dead than alive.
Well, you mustn't talk like that. Joseph will never give me my wings if you keep feeling that way. You just don't realize what you've done for your folks. Why, if it hadn't been for you, well...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody'd be better off. They'd all be better off if I hadn't been born.
What did you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
George, that's wonderful.
Wonderful? What?
The idea you just gave me. Well, you've got your wish. You've never been born.
I've never been born.
Exactly. No worries. No $8,000 to get. Nothing. You simply don't exist.
All right. All right. Okay. All right.
George, I can do things. Strange things. I can show you the world, George, the way it would be if you hadn't been born.
Hey, wait. Say, wait a minute. This ear of mine. Say something in my bad ear.
You don't have a bad ear anymore. Oh, I don't think you're concentrating. Don't you see? You're not the George Bailey you think you are. You're, well, you're nobody.
Well, that's the doggonedest thing I have. That ear?
Your lips stopped bleeding too.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what's happening around here? What is this anyway? I need a drink. That's what I need. What about you, Angel? You want a drink? Let's get dressed and we'll stroll over to Martini's and then... Oh, excuse me. I mean, I'll stroll. You'll fly.
No. I don't have my wings.
You don't have your wings yet. That's right. I forgot that again. Couple of drinks and we'll both fly, huh?
What do you have, fellas?
Hey, where's the boss? Where's Martini?
Look, wise guy. I'm the boss. See?
Okay. Well, double scotch. Quick, will you?
What's yours?
You know what I just love? Some mulled wine.
Huh?
Heavy on the cinnamon and light on the cloves. Off with you, my lad. Lively now.
Nah, cut it out.
Oh, come on here. Just give him the same as I ordered. He's okay.
Yeah, two double scotches.
What about this place? It's all changed.
All of Bedford Falls has changed. You're having your wish, George. You've never been born. Oh, there'll be lots of things you've never seen before. Oh, good. Somebody's just made it.
Made what?
Every time a bell rings, it means some angel's got his wings.
What do you say?
Clarence... I don't think you'd better talk about angels around here.
Don't they believe in angels?
Oh, yeah, they believe in them, but, you know, it's just...
Then why should they be surprised when they see one?
Don't mind him, bartender. He's just a little fella. He just never grew up. How old are you anyway, Clarence?
Well, next May, I'll be 293.
That does it. Couple of pixies, eh? Go on, get. Do you hear me? Get.
Where's Martini? Will you call him?
Stop asking about Martini. He ain't here, and he... Hey, you! Rummy, didn't I tell you never to come panhandling around here?
George, look.
It's Mr. Gower. Mr. Gower. Hey, listen. Mr. Gower, don't you know me? It's... This is George Bailey.
You buy me a drink, mister? Just one drink, will you, mister?
Pinky?
Yeah, Nick?
Throw the rummy out.
Oh, no. No, please.
Hey, bartender, that's Mr. Gower, the druggist.
That rumhead spent 20 years in jail for poisoning some kid. If you know him, you must be a jailbird yourself. Pinky, here's two more. Get him out of here.
Well, get up, George. Good thing he threw us in this snowbank, eh?
Where's Mr. Gower?
Mr. Gower doesn't know you, George. You see, you weren't there to stop him from putting poison into that prescription.
What do you mean I wasn't there? Look, why am I seeing all these strange things here?
Don't you understand? It's because you were not born.
Well, if I wasn't born, then who am I?
Nobody. You have no identity.
What do you mean I have no identity?
No papers, no driver's license, no 4F card, no insurance policy.
Suzu's bell.
What?
Suzu's bell. I bought my little girl a bell to hang on the Christmas tree, and I forgot to give it to her. I've got it, and it's gone. It's gone, too. Everything's gone.
But you've been given a great gift, George. A chance to see what the world would be like if you've never been born.
You're crazy. You're crazy as a bed bug, and you're driving me crazy, too. Now, look. I'm going home to my wife and family. Do you understand that? And I'm going home alone.
Better not leave him alone, Clarence. Keep following him.
Joseph. Oh, I'll stay near him, sir. Poor George. He's seeing Main Street now the way it had been if he hadn't lived. The thing that's really shocked him, sir, is the building and loan office. Know what's there now? Pawn shop.
What's he doing? Can you see?
He's talking to Ernie Bishop, the taxi driver. He wants to go home.
You better tag along, Clarence.
Oh, I will, sir. I will.
Come on, step on it, will you, Ernie? Get me home. I'm off my nut.
Where do you live, buddy?
Oh, now, doggone it, Ernie. Don't you start pulling that stuff on me. 323
Sycamore. 323
Sycamore? Yeah, hurry up. Suzu's sick.
Okay, buddy.
Hey, look, Ernie, I don't know what's happening. I'm going crazy or something. I've got some bad liquor. Now look, tell me this now. You're Ernie Bishop, right? And you live with your wife and kid down in...
You see my wife?
What do you mean, seeing your wife? I've been in your house 100 times. We built it for you, didn't we?
Bud, my wife took the kid and ran away 5 years ago, and I ain't never seen you before in my life. See?
Okay, Ernie, okay. Just step on it. Get me home. Mary? Mary, where are you? Janie? Petey? Suzu? Suzu, where are you?
This is just an old abandoned house, George. You have no wife, no children.
Where are they? What have you done with them?
There you are, Bert. That's him. See? I told you.
All right. Up with your hands.
Oh, Bert. Bert the cop. Thank heaven you're here.
Now, look. Why don't you be a good fella and I'll take you to a doctor?
Bert. Now, Bert, listen to me. What's the matter with you guys? Now, listen. It's that fellow over there. He says he's an angel. He tried to hypnotize me.
I hate to use my nightstick, but I guess I... Ow! Hey!
Run, George, run! He can't hit you while I'm biting him.
Oh.
George, run! My teeth aren't what they used to be. Joseph, help! Joseph! Joseph!
Where'd they go, Ernie? Where'd they go?
I don't know. They just disappeared.
Clarence!
Oh, Joseph, I hope you don't mind my calling on you like I did.
It's very irregular, Clarence. You're by yourself again. Where's George?
He's at his mother's house, sir.
Well, if George hasn't been born, he has no mother.
Oh, he's being very stubborn, sir. He'll just have to find these things out for himself.
But his mother, that's a terribly bitter blow to a man. His own mother not knowing him?
You mean I shouldn't have let him?
I mean, you better find him right away. Oh, and stop biting policemen, Clarence.
I'm here again, George.
My mother. My own mother didn't know me. If only Harry were here. My brother were only back from Washington.
Your brother fell through the ice and was drowned at the age of 9.
That's a lie. He got the Congressional Medal of Honor. He saved the lives of every man on that transport.
Every man on that transport died. Strange, isn't it? Each man's life touches so many other lives. Harry wasn't there to save them because you weren't there to save Harry. Don't you see, George? You really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away?
Clarence.
Yes?
Where's Mary? Please. Where's my wife?
I'm not supposed to tell.
Tell me where she is.
You're not going to like it, George.
Where is she? I'll choke it out of you if I have to. Where's my wife?
The library. She works there. She's just about to lock up for the night. So I... George, come back. Oh, there must be some easier way for me to get my wings.
Mary!
I'm sorry, the library's closed.
Mary, it's George. Don't you know me?
No, I don't know you. Let me go!
Mary, please, don't do this to me. Mary, please, help me. Where are our kids? Mary, I need you. Mary, please.
Get away from me! Help!
Help me, Mary. I'm George. Mary!
Clarence?
Oh, where is he, Joseph? Where's George? I'm afraid I've lost him, sir.
You knew you shouldn't have let him try to see Mary. Now they're after him. A mob. They think he was trying to hurt her.
Joseph, I won't even get one wing, will I?
You have one more chance, Clarence. Get over to the bridge by the river. I think George has seen just about enough.
But the mob.
Don't worry. They've lost him too. Now hurry up.
Oh, thank you, Joseph. Thank you.
Clarence, where are you?
I'm here, George.
Help me, Clarence. Get me back. I don't care what happens to me. Only get me back to my wife and kids, please. I want to live again.
Oh, thank you, George. Thank you, Lord.
I want to live again. Please, oh God, please let me live again.
George? Is that you down there, George?
Now you get out of here, Bert. Get out of here. You come any closer, I'll let you have it.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
Come on. George? Bert, do you know me?
Know you? I've been looking all over town for you. Where you been?
Hey, Bert, I'm alive again, Bert.
You sure you're all right? Hey, your mouth's bleeding.
It is? Hey, my mouth's bleeding. Bert, look at the blood coming out of there, would ya? Oh, hey, where's Suzu's Christmas bell? Bert, I had it right in my pocket. Here it is. It's in my pocket. What do you know about that? Hey, Merry Christmas, Bert.
Well, Merry Christmas. Get in the car. I'll drive you home.
You will? Bert! Well, do that. And turn the siren wide open, huh? Merry Christmas, Bedford Falls. Hey, Merry Christmas, old building and loan. Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter. Yippee! Come on. Hey, Bert. Come on, come in with me, huh? What's with all these people? These reporters? Hey, Merry Christmas, reporters. Hey, Mr. Bank Examiner, Merry Christmas.
Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000, I'll bet, huh?
George, I've got a little paper here. I'm sorry.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't that wonderful? Merry Christmas. Hey, where's Mary? You know? Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Isn't it wonderful? Have you seen my wife? Where's Mary?
Merry Christmas, Daddy!
Kids! Hey, kids! Janie, Petey, oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
She went looking for you, Daddy, with Uncle Billy.
Daddy!
Zuzu, my little ginger snap. How do you feel, huh?
Fine, Daddy. Not a smidge of a temperature.
Not a smidge of a Hallelujah.
George, darling.
It's Mommy! Mommy's home!
Mary.
George, where have you been?
Mary.
Oh, George.
Mary, just let me touch you. Oh, you're real, Mary. Oh, you've no idea what happened to me.
You've no idea what happened either. They're on their way here.
Who? Who's on their way? Oh, it's the police department. I don't know. The FBI? The National Guard? I'm alive again. Oh, Mary. Oh, listen, Mary. I'm alive again.
Oh, yes, darling, yes. Now, close your eyes and come on downstairs.
What is it? Can I open my eyes yet, Mary? What's going on here?
Now, keep your eyes closed. Now, I'll just walk you over here by the Christmas tree and...
Well, there's people. I hear lots of people. What is it?
Just 1 minute now. We're all ready, Uncle Billy. Come in, everybody. Hooray!
Hooray! George, look. Just look.
Uncle Billy!
Money, George. A laundry basket filled with money. Money for you. Mary did it, George. Mary!
I don't understand. What money? What?
People heard you were in trouble, darling. These people, your friends, they've collected this money for you. The $8,000.
Charlie! Wait, there's Martini? And Mr. Gower? Hey, how are you, Mr. Gower? Mrs. Thompson, Ed, Tom, everybody.
None of us would have a roof over our heads if it wasn't for you, George.
Gosh, this is wonderful. Hey, Mary, look who's coming in. Mother. Hi, Mother. Hey, and Harry!
Got Mary's telegram, George. I flew in as fast as I could.
Hey, everybody, a toast. How about a toast?
Good idea, Ernie. A toast. To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Yay! Daddy, my Christmas bell. You didn't forget.
Yes. Here, honey. Here's your bell.
Daddy.
Darling, what's this on the table here? What's this book?
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Well, look, there's something written in it.
Dear George, remember, no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence.
Clarence?
Yeah. He's a very dear friend of mine.
Daddy, Mrs. Welch says, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right, Zuzu. That's right. Atta boy, Clarence. Happy landings.
And a very pleasant good morning. I'm Steve Brown, co-executive producer of the 24-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. This morning, we're featuring several programs from the past 16 years of the Radio Theater. We'll first hear our well-known version of Stan Freberg's Eulnet, based on Jack Webb's Dragnet TV series. Then we'll hear some music from Bill's Little Big Band, headed up by Bill McGee. Finally, after hearing that wonderful local Kenosha production of It's a Wonderful Life by the Kenosha Creative Space, we thought it would be a perfect time to roll the clock back to 2006, when we first performed before our studio audience here at Gateway Technical College in Kenosha, our original production of It Could Have Been a Wonderful Life, written by Michael Ulstrup and myself. This broadcast, by the way, was awarded a first place award by the Wisconsin Association of Broadcasters, and we were incredibly fortunate to have two stars from the original 1946 Frank Capra film It's a Wonderful Life join us as members of our 91.1 Players cast. They were Carolyn Grimes, who played little Zuzu Bailey, and also Jimmy Hawkins, who played Zuzu's little brother, Tommy Bailey. Other stars included Dr. Brian Albrecht, president of Gateway Technical College, the late Howard Brown, president and CEO of the Kenosha News, Mike Radigan, owner at the time of Ray Radigan's restaurant in Kenosha, and Kyle Farrell as Jeffrey Bailey. And now here is our version of Stan Freeberg's Yulnet, followed by some music by Bill's Little Big Band.
Special holiday treat for all of you that's become sort of a tradition for the 91.1 Players. A number of years ago, Stan Freeberg wrote a script that was a spoof of Jack Webb's Dragnet. It was called Yulnet, and it went something like this.
My name is Wednesday, Joe Wednesday. My partner's Frank Jones. The chief's name is Captain Kellogg. December the 24th, Christmas Eve. They brought in a guy named Grudge. When I heard what they booked him on, my blood ran cold. It was a 409-6325-096704. Not believing in Santa Claus. 4:35 p.m. I was working the holiday watchout of Homicide with Frank.
Hang up your stocking yet, Joe?
Yeah, just before I came down. You too, Frank?
Always do. Hung it up early just in case I had to work late tonight. Wouldn't want to miss out when old Santa Claus comes around, you know?
Sure wouldn't. Be a shame.
What you gonna do tomorrow, Joe? What you gonna do on Christmas? Got any plans?
Nothing much.
Why don't you come over to the house, Joe? We're gonna have Christmas dinner. You know, all the trimmings, turkey, celery, stuffing, oysters, maybe chestnuts. All the trimmings, you know, cranberry sauce, love to have you. The missus always fixes a plate of relish with them little carrot sticks, you know, olives, pickles, scallions. Most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions. Do you ever notice that, Joe?
Notice what, Frank?
How most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions?
Uh-huh, scallions.
Anytime after two, Joe. Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Love to have you.
Uh-huh, well, I'll see.
Mrs. always fixes up a plate of relish with those little carrot sticks, you know, olives, pickles, scallions.
Uh-huh, let's not go through that again.
Go through what, Joe?
Most people call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
Uh-oh, you noticed that too, Joe, huh?
Homicide, Wednesday. Uh-huh. 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 Uh-huh.
What's the matter, uh-huh. Joe? What's the matter, Joe?
Bringing in a guy in a 409-6325-096704. Guy don't believe in scallions. I mean, Santa Claus. 6:29 p.m. We question the guy who didn't believe in Santa Claus. Guy named Grudge. Says here your name's Grudge, is that right?
Yeah!
Says here you didn't believe in Santa Claus. Hard to believe what you said. Did he really say that?
Sure, I said it. How do you know there's a Santa Claus? You got a picture of him?
No, no mugshots.
Any fingerprints?
Uh-uh, no latent prints. I just know, that's all. Like saying there's no Easter Bunny.
That's another guy there ain't no of.
What's your story, mister?
Joe, he just said that to make me feel bad, didn't he? There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe?
Listen, Grudge, didn't I pick you up 3 years ago in a 1492 for not believing in Columbus?
Yeah, and I don't believe in Cleveland or Cincinnati either.
How about Toledo?
I ain't made up my mind yet about Toledo.
Okay, mister, I get the picture now. You don't believe in nothing, do you?
Nothing. And you want to know something else?
What's that?
I'm gonna get up and walk right out of this room, because you guys ain't got nothing on me. There ain't no law against not believing in Santa Claus.
There is in my book. Let me tell you something, mister. I'm gonna prove there's a Santa Claus if it takes me all night.
Pretty funny. The police department's got nothing better to do.
Let me straighten you out, buddy. This one's on Frank and me. Right, Frank? Right, Frank?
There really is an Easter Bunny, isn't there, Joe? You know, hippity-hopping down the bunny trail?
I took Grudge over to the helicopter, got in, flew around the city for hours. I showed him department stores. What's hurrying in and out of those department stores, Grudge?
Happy people, but I ain't impressed.
I showed him stockings. Ah, those stockings hung, Grudge.
By the chimney with care, but I didn't hang none up.
I showed him children nestled all snug in their beds. What's dancing in their heads, Grudge?
Vicious as sugar plums. But you ain't selling me. There ain't no Santa Claus.
He still didn't believe. There was only one thing left to do. My job? Get to the North Pole. I set the plane down. We walked over to Santy's workshop. Rang the bell. Pardon me, sir. Can I ask you a few questions?
Why, sure. Just tickle me to death.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a brownie.
What are you doing at the North Pole with a southern accent?
Well, the boss sort of ran short of help this year, so he had to recruit a few of us brownies from the South Pole.
Uh-huh, that figures.
What a waste of time!
Could we talk to your boss, please?
Oh, he's out. You would have to come on the one night he's out on the whole year.
What's your particular job, Mr. Brownie?
My boss has 8 tiny reindeer. My job? Feed them.
Yes, sir. What do you feed them?
Well, most times I fix up a little plate of relish, olives, pickles, and them little carrot sticks. You know them little old carrot sticks?
Uh-huh.
And scallions.
Most folks call them green onions, but they're really scallions.
How do you know?
Just a stab in the dark. The little man showed us through the workshop.
My boss will be back for a second load pretty soon. Say, would you all like to hear an interesting story?
Yes, sir.
Do you see that huge pile of presents over there?
Uh-huh.
Man, look at all that stuff!
Would you believe it? They're all for the same man. Been piling up here year after year.
Why didn't the guy ever get them?
Yeah, why?
Because he didn't believe in my boss. You know the rules.
Uh-huh, we know.
I don't suppose there's no chance this guy can steal.
Oh, get the presents? Oh, sure. He gets them all, the minute he believes. But I don't suppose he ever will.
Too bad about that guy. What's his name?
Don't say it! I don't want to hear
Come
it!
Come on, Mr. Brownie, what's his name?
His name? Grudge.
The brownie saw us to the door, wished us a Merry Christmas. We were heading back to the plane when it happened.
Hey!
Yeah, Grudge?
You know that guy I said I didn't believe in?
Who's that?
Santa Claus?
Yes, sir.
You think I'm too old to change my mind?
You're never too old, Mr. Grudge.
Well, then, I believe in Santa Claus. And Columbus.
How about Cincinnati? And Cleveland? And the Easter Bunny?
Yeah, them too.
And Toledo?
I still haven't made up my mind about Toledo.
Look, Grudge, up in the sky. He's coming back for the second load.
It's Santa Claus! It's Santa Claus!
There's the only guy I know can make everybody happy in one night.
Yeah, he must have the biggest heart in the whole world.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
Let's give a listen to Bill's Little Big Band. We'll be right back.
Good morning. I'm Carolyn Recker, a member of WGTD's 91.1 Players, welcoming you to our second annual original Holiday Classic Theater, It Could Have Been a Wonderful Life, written by Stephen Brown and Michael Ahlstrup, which was inspired by the 1943 short story The Greatest Gift by Philip Van Doren Stern.
Jeffrey, you are never alone. I'm with you, and so is your faith and hope for the future.
Dear God, please help my son Jeffrey tonight. Jeffrey means so much to all of us.
Jeffrey's a good guy. Give him a break, God.
Help him, please.
Clarence, I have a new assignment for you. This time, I do hope you are able to complete it successfully. This is your last chance, you know.
I will do my best, sir.
Clarence, I know. I know. But this is a very special assignment. You see, a boy down on Earth needs our help.
Splendid! Is he sick? Out of sorts?
No, worse. He's discouraged and depressed. In fact, at exactly 10:45 p.m. tonight, Earth time, that boy, a mere 16 years of age, will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, dear, his life. Then I've only got an hour to get ready.
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with Jeffrey Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, I mean, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting for over 200 years now, sir, and, well, people are beginning to talk. A lot of people.
Clarence, you do a good job with Jeffrey Bailey, and you'll get your wings. I'll put in a good word to you-know-who.
You mean... Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Sure, sure. Now, Clarence, please sit down for a moment.
Sit down? Why?
If you're going to help this boy, you'll want to know something about him, right?
Oh, well, naturally, of course.
Well, keep your eyes open. See that town below? Bedford Falls?
Where? I don't see a thing.
Oh, I forgot. You haven't got your wings yet. Now look, I'll help you out. Now concentrate. Begin to see something?
Why, yes! This is amazing, quite amazing. Well, look, I can see all those people, and they're teeny, tiny little...
Clarence, if you ever get your wings, you'll see it all by yourself.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Now let me tell you more about Jeffrey Bailey. You see, he has just lost his girlfriend, and he is not very happy living at home. And then there is his Aunt Zuzu, Uncle Tommy. And then I'd like to tell you a little about all the other people in Bedford Falls.
Good morning.